B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's 5 o'clock. NBC Philly. That's right, NBC Sports Philly and 97.5, The Fanatics. The Mike Missinelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano. Filling in for Michael and on the line with us. I got to tell you, I've not been this happy in a long time. And it was like it was awesome to find out. We were down in Disney doing the NBA experience. And when the news hit that this man was back, I got to tell you, I was ecstatic. I felt like I got my Phillies back. I felt like I got my sports back. When this man came back, and you know what? He had some magic early, man. That's for sure. That there was Charlie comes back and they start hitting, and we hear Charlie in the stands. He joins us now live from Boston, the Skip and new Phillies hitting coach, Charlie Manuel, on 97.5 The Fanatic. Skip!
How's it going, man?
What's That's up, good. Man?
Doing good.
First of all, you know how I feel, so I'm ecstatic that you're back where you should be in uniform.
Yeah, I think it feels great to be in uniform. I love being around the game. I love the guys. I love being in the locker room and the dugout, and it's been real exciting, and everything about it's been absolutely great. The first three games, of course, we played was really dramatic, and you know, like, and we did a lot of things well. You know, like we stayed with it, we came back and won the games late, like historic games, really. And then the last 2 days, we just hadn't scored enough runs. But at the same time, I looked at our team, and if you saw us play the last couple of days, we've had some hitters that go up there and really, you know, like they really. Putting a lot of effort into it, and they got a lot of determination because we work counts, and actually we hang in there and battle when we get behind in the count. And those guys are like JT Romero, Bryce Harper on the lefties. He's really been bearing down. Dickerson yesterday, Segura had two doubles, of course, and he had that last at bat. I don't know exactly how many pitches he fouled off, but he had a long at bat, and he really was battling, and he ended up striking out. But at the same time, it was a tremendous effort. But there again, we didn't score enough runs, and we know that. And it's just a matter of us, you know, like getting things to go good for us. We had a good chance, but at the same time, too, those last two games are gone, and you like we got off day to day, and tomorrow we come back out, and we be even more determination. We take them one at a time. We're going to be good.
Skip, when you. How do you bounce when you come in like the way you come in now, this late in the season? What's your strategy in, you know, teaching hitting and balancing all the stuff that was being told to those guys to now what you're doing?
Yeah, I try to basically what I do that, you know, like there's a lot of guys, on our team that don't really know me, and then they go on what they've heard about me. So, but at the same time, it's very important that I communicate with them and, you know, like, and talk to them and try to get to know them as quick as I can. And also, as far as, you know, trying to change them or something like that, that's not going to happen, but, you know, like, actually, until I sit there and I watch them for a while. When I say something to them, I want to be right on. I just don't want to throw information out there just to be having a conversation with them, you know. But at the same time, too, if I can get them to relax and, you know, like, and just be very positive around them. Let them talk a lot of times, Anthony. You know, like sometimes when you're talking to hitters, I don't even have to talk. You know, like by them carrying, leading the conversation and everything, you know, like when he gets through talking to me, he's ready to go. So, you know, it's all a lot of touch to it. But at the same time, the teaching part would definitely come as we keep getting on into the games.
Yeah, wait. Could you explain? Because we hear a lot about launch angles and hot zones, and you know what the taking pitches for the sake of taking pitches. Can you make some sense into you know, the proper approach. And, you know, you've been starting hitting a long time, man. I mean, ever since I love the story of the magazine as the plate, right? Like, when you sat and you picked the greatest minds of all time in hitting. So can you tell us, you know, like, what we hear and what actually needs to happen?
Yeah, well, actually, like, when we say, for me, you know, like, this is my philosophy. And for me, you know, like, when we say, you know, like, we're going to work the count. So that means that we're going to take some pitches. But at the same time, too, we've got to know exactly, you know, like, where we're at the plate. And if we got it covered, and then we got to have an idea of what the strike zone is. And we got to get a good ball to hit. And you, like, as you got counts, like, first pitch, the second pitch, and we go down any one strike, two strikes, balls, things like that. Best counts to hit out of is 3-0, 3-1, 2-0, 2-1. Those are the, you know, like, becomes like that. Then, you know, like, when you start a count, usually you go up and you look for a good ball. The rule of thumb, first of all, is get a good ball to hit. And you like, when you get a good ball to hit, you try to drive it. But now, if the pitcher's not throwing you strikes and you patient at the plate and everything like that, and you work an account, you will take pitches. And if he doesn't throw you strikes, of course you walk. And that's, to me, like, I've been a hitting coach for a long time in the game, ever since I've been in the game, from a coach or manager's aspect of it. And I don't talk to hitters about walking.
That's not your style, man.
Right. If you don't get a good ball to hit, well, then you walk. And walking is a part of the game. And I've had some guys, if you go back and look over through the years, quite a few of them, you know, like, you look up, they got 100 walks, and they're 100 and all that. They got high on base percentages. And, you know, like, that helps to make a big offense.
Well, look, I mean, you did it here as manager. You did it in Cleveland. You had guys that would do that. Now, my only question, though, is when we talk about, it's twofold. When we talk about taking pitches, I think this team kind of got lost a little bit where they're taking first pitch fastballs. Like, when you can't, you got to be looking. If a pitcher knows that you're take, they're going to try to get me over fastballs. And you got to protect that.
Right. I understand exactly what you're saying. But most of the time, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with if I haven't hit off of a pitch or maybe that I haven't hit off of him only a few times. If you go up and you take, you know, like, and you looking to see how hard he's throwing or something,
right?
And actually, you would take a first pitch fastball,
sure.
But then at the same time, with all the data and the information we got nowadays on pitchers, it tells you how many fastballs they throw in the game and when and things like that. And, you know, like, if you go up, and I have no problem at all. If a guy, if he's got experience hitting off of a guy before and he gets a good fastball to hit on the first pitch, I have no problem at all with him swinging a bat. I don't mind that at all. You know, like, as long as he's getting good pitches in the strike zone.
Sure. What's your, we were talking to the great Charlie Manuel, Phillies hitting coach. It's so great to see him back in uniform and hearing the Charlie, that was awesome. The crowd loves you, man. They just love you. You know that. What's your philosophy on launch angles?
My philosophy on launch angle is, at the point of contact, you know, like the point for the ball, where the bat hits the ball, at the point of contact, you know, like, that's my impact of the ball, and, you know, like, the speed coming off the bat coming off the bat, of course. And then, you know, basically what that is, that right there is where my launch angle's at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order for me,
call it bat path. Call it a bat path, yeah.
Right. Now, for me, my launch angle, you know, like, it's for me, you know, like, where I can, you know, like, get high velocity off the bat and things. And usually, you know, like, that point would be, you know, like, hit the ball and go all, you know, like, hit straight through the ball. And the angle of what's the angle of bat when it hits the ball? To me, that's your launch angle on hitting that ball at that at bat. And, you know, like, at the same time, one of the biggest things, misconception of it, I think, is that you see guys who start out, you know, like with a bat path that's kind of like an uppercut swing.
Yeah.
The ball above my hands is an uppercut. And once the ball gets above my hands, I've only got, I would say, like 4, 5, 6 inches in my swing where I can make contact with the ball. So therefore, I cannot consistently hit the ball. And that's why that you don't, a lot of guys don't talk about baseball, don't talk about uppercut. Now, if my bat is more kind of downward plane, you know, like, and it's going to stay on, the plane of the ball is going to be my hitting area. The plane of my hitting area is going to be, of course, much longer. You know, like, I can be late, I can hit the ball, you know, like, right on time, or I can hit the ball out front and things like that. So the path of my ball, path of my bat staying on the ball gives me a chance to, you know, like, make more contact, be a more consistent hitter. You know, like, and then, of course, you know, like, my swing is, it's not what you call an exact level swing. My swing is an arc. And I used to talk to Williams about the arc all the time.
Ted Williams,
you can have what I call a little lift.
Yeah.
In my swing, or if the ball is real low, that's why you bend your legs and you stay back behind the ball and it is a lift. A low ball, any ball is below my hands. You know, like, as long as I keep my hands above the ball.
It's natural. It's a natural lift.
Right. That's a natural lift. That is a lift. And any ball below my hands is a lift.
Hmm.
And you could, that's how you get the ball up in the air. We don't talk, we never talk about hitting balls on the ground, especially to a big guy. And because, he's also taught to get the ball in the air he's also learned how to get the ball in the air. And it is a lift.
Fascinating.
If that makes sense. If you understand.
It makes perfect sense. It does. Charlie Manuel. And that's the thing. It made perfect sense for a guy like you who knows so much about hitting to put you back in uniform is great. How's it been working with Gabe?
It's been good. I mean, I came back to be a hitting coach, you know, like, for the rest of the season and everything. And I want to be an asset to our team as much as possible. And I'm there, you know, like, do a good job, you know, like, and I want to see us win some games and, of course, get into the playoffs. And on this, Gabe's been fine. All the coaches have been fine.
Great.
I got two guys that help assist me, Andy Abad and Petey Guerrero. And, you know, like, both of those guys are outstanding. And really, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's a big challenge. And Anthony, actually, you know, like, what I've had to do with it, I don't know at all. I mean, you know, like, but you know, like, I'm around it, and if I can get the guys to relax and you know, try to pump them up and things like that, well, you know, like, I've had a history of doing that, and you know, like, hopefully I can continue doing that too. You know,
I think that's
the asset of it.
Yeah, man. Listen, I can already see with Bryce. I mean, when he hugged you, right? That was, first of all, you always told me about Bryce. You and Bryce have a really, really strong relationship. And you always, even you and I would talk this year, and you say, listen, man, Bryce will get back. You watch. He's going to get hot. And you believed in Bryce. And it's funny, you step in, and then Harper has those moments. And I don't think that was coincidence.
You know what? I'm not. I'll tell you something. I haven't told Bryce anything, kind of anything at all about his hitting. You know, like, I might have said something to him about something simple, but that, you know, like, I, you know, like, as far as me making some big statement and him going out there and hitting, you know, like, I cannot take any credit at all for that. But at the same time, even if he's turning up, I'm not going to take credit for it, because, you know, like, that's how the game goes. You know, like, I'm the teacher.
Sure.
And you know, like, he's the pupil, and you know, like, he is the guy doing the hitting. And basically, that's why I give all the players credit for all the time too. I mean, they get the credit because, you know, like, they, they're the one that makes my job great. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like if some guy can improve and some guy can be a big hitter and you know, like a big career in the big leagues, that right there is the whole point about me liking to be in the game.
Now, you always say you love the game. And I listen, I was talking about, you got to do me a favor and tell a story. I always ask you to tell one story every time I have you on. And this one is one of my all-time favorites because I told the people, I told Tyler and I told Natalie about how you, when you were playing in Japan, you entered the Japan baths.
Yeah.
So you got to tell the story to the audience.
I don't think I can tell that on radio, man. I don't know if people quite understand that.
Well, I told them that it's a custom that the baths are are a custom in Japan. They're in these hot. It's almost like a pool, and it's these hot.
Right. Well, let's just say that they had a lot of. Women that got off work and came in there to take a bath, okay? And I just happened to be, you know, like, kind of thought I was sleeping there in that bath because I was so sore and tired because they worked me out all day long. And, you know, like, I felt, you know, like, and I couldn't even move. And, you know, like, it's almost like I was dreaming or something. All of a sudden, I look up and I see all these women. That might be as far as I can go.
That's it. That's perfect, man. It's a custom in Japan. I just want to tell the audience, right. Make sure that these baths are, it's a customary thing that after work, you went to the bath, and Charlie looks up and there's a lot of women coming into the bath, and he's going,
And I swear, right, you know, like, I was so tired, and I was just laying there with my eyes closed and things like that, and I thought I was dreaming.
Yeah.
I did. You know, like, and some of them come over, and they were giggling, and they, but, you know, like, poked me on the arm or something like that. I'm going, okay, whatever. Now I'm done. That's it.
They never saw, they hadn't seen muscles like that, man. Yeah. No. Oh, that's classic. Skip, real quick, what was it like the other night when the fans were chanting your name, Charlie? What was that like for you?
You know what? That's a great feeling. I mean, I get a charge out of that. I don't know really how to react to it.
No,
they're hollering. The success that our players and our teams had, and the fact that, you know, like I was a manager and, you know, like, and evidently, you know, like, because that our players and the people in our organization and my coaches and myself, you know, like, we did a job, and, you know, like, it's kind of like that they are hollering for me, but at the same time, I know a lot of them means that, you know, like, that they hollering actually because they enjoyed are winning and, you know, like, and basically us winning the World Series and things like that. And hopefully I had a part in that, but at the same time, those guys and the people that made that possible too, they deserve every bit of those hand, or recognition like that, really. But it's great. It's a great feeling and it's good for somebody to like you that much.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about that here, man. They love you.
That's great.
Yeah, they always did, man, and they love you. And it feels like, you know, listen, there's a meld of, you know, the old school baseball hitting with, and it's funny because you've always used analytics. You know, it's never, this is not anything new to you. Right. You would get a whole report before every game, so it's not like the analytics or anything new. But it does feel familiar, I think, to people having you in uniform. You know,
right? The analytics part that we get is, you know, like, we always had that in some respect, but at the same time too, there's definitely more data on it. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, and there is, some things that are really interesting. I would say people would be surprised on how much of it I like.
Yeah.
And things like that. But there's some that I will argue on in my philosophy and what I think, but listen, I think that's the same. If I was to sit down with you know, like, guys and talk about hitting and everything like that, everybody's not going to agree with you.
No, that's it. And that's why, you know, you would have those arguments with Ted Williams about hitting in a hotel bar, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right. And, I pay attention.
He cusses me out, you know.
That's awesome. Listen, Skip, we love you, and we hope this is goes beyond this year. I'll tell you that much, and we hope you have a big time effect and get Reese hitting again, and you get the guys going. Right. So we're thrilled to have you back, brother.
Right? You know, I felt like the other night the last two games Reese has played, that he's definitely swung better. The ball's starting to barrel balls up now. And he hit a couple of balls that the guys caught, and his swing is definitely getting better. And Reese is a good hitter, and he's definitely going to hit. And like we need for him to hit, of course. And he's a big part of our offense. And I'm pulling for him. And if we can do anything to help him, our guys and myself, we did. We definitely want him to get going, of course.
Skip, well, listen, thanks so much, bro. Listen, good luck in Boston, man. Uncle Charlie says it's hitting season, baby.
That's right. Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks, brother. We love you, buddy. Take care. The great Charlie Manuel.
The best.
He is. Isn't he great?
He's awesome.
He makes a smile when he's talking, you know. Yeah, he's one of the treasures of that game.
Love that old school baseball approach.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know,
C-ball, hit ball.
Yeah.
Very simple.
But he does have, like, there is a science behind it. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's hard to convey over a telephone when you're, you know, in a hotel room. But there is a science to watching. I actually spent time talking about hitting with him, and you can see where your hands are above the baseball, below the baseball, your load factor, your bat path, which is a lot like launch angle, is really your bat path.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. It's great to have him back, man. He is... He is a treasure.
I took hitting lessons once with Matt Stairs.
Oh, did you? That's cool.
And I'll tell you what. By the end of the session, I was a better hitter.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Matt. That's awesome. All right, we'll come back just a moment. Still lots to do this hour. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. I'm Anthony Gargano right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hope everybody enjoyed Charlie. Phil's night off and Red Sox for two. It's tough, man. Tyler, we were talking about these Philly schedule, and it's no picnic coming up. See, the problem is once you shut down Arrieta, and he had to shut him down. I mean, he just was not effective. The pitching, you got four question marks in Nola.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't even know if you have four. I'd be even willing to say that you have three, because I think you know what you have from Vargas. He's right there. He's consistent. Is he great? No.
No.
But I don't think he's a question mark. But you're right. If it's Eflin, if it's Smiley.
I mean, Vargas is a five.
Right, but you know he's a five.
Right.
So on most teams, he should be a five.
Yeah, all right, good. I'll go with you there. He's a five. The other ones are five pluses.
They're quad A players.
Yes, I agree with that. I do. But the schedule, have it ready coming up because we'll kind of dive into it a little bit. But we need a check of our Twitter poll brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, what do we got?
Final numbers on today's poll ant. We have over 1,100 votes on this one. Anthony was in Disney all week and saw a ton of Philly sports gear. When you go out, especially when you're out of town, which team do you rep the most? 62% say the Eagles, 14% say the Sixers, 18% say Phillies, 6% say Flyers. So Eagles win this one by a landslide.
Yeah, and we saw Eagles hats. And I saw a Jason Kelce jersey.
Amazing.
Now, that's impressive. You're rocking a Kelce jersey? That's impressive, man. By the way, our 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event has been extended through August. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Don't forget Sound Off coming up in about 10 minutes. How was it? Was it good?
I think so. I think we've got a lot of, there's still a lot of negativity on the Phillies.
You
I think that's going to dominate.
The problem, here's the problem, is that Gabe afterwards gives you the big long song and dance about taking pitches.
Loud outs.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to swallow when you beat their best pitcher in Paddock and then you lose the next two. You know, I found it interesting what Charlie was talking about, how he just coming in and he's allowing everybody to be everybody and just kind of wants to see what he's got in guys and not giving a ton of direction right off the bat, which is, you know, allow them to get comfortable in the, because you got to see what you're working with before you start, you know, pouring in instructions.
Right, because you've got different guys who handle things a different way. Rhys Hoskins may be different from Bryce Harper, who may be different from Real Muto.
Yeah, now he knows Harper well, so that's a good thing. I'm sure they have had their intimate discussions about the hitting and that sort of thing. And Nat, he told you the story about the baths in Japan, the hot baths in Japan.
So funny. Yeah. I can only imagine a young Charlie like, what's happening here?
Yeah, so he goes, you know? He's working out, and he goes, sits in the bath. It's a big, like, pool area.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all these girls come in.
Hello.
He's looking up like, what am I, in heaven?
Right.
That's
awesome.
All right, let's get back to the phones and talk to Keith. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What do you say, Keith?
Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Good, buddy.
I'm gonna back you up to the Stephen A. comment, and sorry to back you up, but I've
go ahead.
It's not that he's wrong, but it's like a lot of things in life, there's a time and a place and a way to say things. And I don't think you're wrong about the moratorium on Wentz.
All right, let me just, for the audience purposes, Stephen A. Smith said that Nick Foles will, his legendary status will not be touched by Carson Wentz, that he will be the bigger legend, and that Carson Wentz will not unseat Foles in his legendary status.
Right. Now, I don't like what he's so much. What he said is how he said it.
Okay.
Okay. Or how it can be interpreted. And I understand the press, you know, you guys, you know, you got to do your jobs and it's your business to have a story. And Philly fans like to run their mouths. But I think you're right about the whole moratorium thing. It's kind of like a marriage. Now, the first girl you were ever with or the first guy you were ever with is always going to have a special place in your heart. There's always going to be something special about that person. But if you're married to the greatest person in the world, you know, it doesn't really matter. And also, if you're married to someone, and you got to think of it as a marriage, we're married to Wentz. Elvis has left the building. You know, Foles is down in Jacksonville. So that ship has sailed. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's a great, I agree. It's a very apt analogy.
And are you guys, the three, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Would any of you ever think about talking all day in front of your wife about your ex-girlfriend, about how great she was
in
comparisons on a regular basis?
Of course not,
That's what people are doing, running their mouths right now. It's like talking in front of your wife about your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, no, I think your analogy is dead on. I do. And I find it interesting because one of the reasons for the moratorium is that if he's not playing in the preseason, let's think about this for a second. He's not playing in preseason, right?
Well, this poor guy hasn't been healthy for 2 years. You can't judge him.
Right. So he's going to come out, and he's got new pieces. He's working with new pieces. As much work he's going to do in the preseason, the ones are getting all kinds of reps, there still has to be some sort of grace period. And I'm afraid we're going to sit there and judge him on from snap one.
Absolutely. And the idea of holding this Foles yardstick up against him every single minute of the day, people have got to climb down out of this guy's backside. It's ridiculous.
Keith, great. That's a great call, man. Thanks, buddy. Listen, we could say, you'd sit here and say, hey, you know, intellectually speaking, you know, the offense could come out of the gates a little slow. And you got to have some tolerance for at least the first month to have Wentz tolerance. And, you know how it works. All bets are off once the season starts.
Once you're in there?
And an emotion gets the best of you. Right? Because now we're talking about people's emotions.
But don't you think we're going to know who our competition is early in the season? I know that you're saying that it doesn't matter, but don't you think that we're going to know very early on who we're going to have to duke it out against? Or well, do you think that that's not going to be determined until later?
I think the NFC is stocked with pretty good teams. I think if you just look at it on its surface, you have Dallas in the East, the Saints, Atlanta, Carolina in the South, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago in the North, the Rams, Seattle, and the Niners in the West. So you have a lot of teams, and I don't know who's going to be. Obviously, the Cowboys are going to be fighting for the NFC East.
Yeah.
But any of those other teams, and it could be a surprise. It could be a surprise team like the Niners are getting a lot of hype, but it could be them. It could be Carolina we were talking about earlier, that maybe they have a resurgence. Cam Newton's healthy, so it could be them. So you don't know which of those teams. Minnesota's a possibility. Who knows with Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers back. So it's going to be interesting to see which other teams
are rise to the top early.
Yeah.
That's in my opinion.
Yeah, but you have to be careful of the fraudulent teams, like, you know, the Bills 3-0 start or whoever.
It happens
every year.
It does. My only point is that September doesn't mean anything. You don't want to go 0-4, but it doesn't mean that much. And I keep pointing to the Patriots because they'll start off 2-2 or 1-3 or whatever it is that's been done. So it's going to be how their offense is clicking and how Wentz is playing once you start to get into October. All right, we got lots to do. We still have Sound Off to get to, so you don't want to miss that. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. It is the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right. Who we got, my brother?
Dave Kapler. Get rid of him. He doesn't work with this team. He's terrible. Any other manager would have them 10 games over 500. He is absolutely horrible. A robot doesn't know nothing about baseball.
Don't know nothing. I hear you, brother. I hear you.
You know what? I'd rather see Carson rusty in the first and second quarter of the Washington game and then explode in the second half, then being sidelined wearing a clipboard because he's injured. Bubble wrap him.
Yes, I agree. Bubble wrap on a shelf, Elf on a shelf.
I'll pay for it all. We'll get all the bubble wrap.
Yeah.
What are they going to learn? They got Pivogen in the game, part of the lollipop bullpen, and here we are losing 4-3, first and third, one out with Pivogen. He needs to be on the Iron Peaks if we want to make the playoffs. We can't keep putting him out there, Pivogen, part of the lollipop gang.
Yeah, I love the Pivogen. That was pretty good, Mikey. Always does that. I hear you, man. You can't just... This pitching makes it so difficult to win. It just does.
Is this guy serious? Or he swung the bat well. Boy, that was a loud hit. That was a loud out. He almost got one out of here and almost tied. Almost. What is this, horseshoes? Come on, dude. Are you kidding me, this guy? I'm done. He's a scrub. Get him. His coconut oil is bamboo. Oh, get him out of here. This is a dismal season.
Get him out! The coconut oil! The bamboo! He's tan! Get him out!
Let's open it up in chat.
Hey, Bill W. Y'all excited for the upcoming evil season? Well, all you gotta do is win 4 more Super Bowls and you'll be right up there with the beloved Dallas Cowboys. Might take you 100 years to do it, but then by that time, the Cowboys might win 5 more! Good luck, Eagles.
Out
live in Humble Pack City anyway.
Oh,
like the worst fake accent ever. What is that?
That was terrible.
That was awful.
That was terrible. That was great.
Tim Dowson is the owner of the Phillies. Middle feels like he has to hire Charlie Manuel, bring back the glory days as a hitting coach, and really cover up all the ineptitude this team has. Basically, it was a fan get excited kind of a move, which most fans read right through it. Band-aid on a cancer. Fourth best team in a 5-team division.
Yeah, listen, I don't think, you know, this was, hey, let's throw this to the fans. I do think John Middleton was serious in that they need some help. You got a guy, if you have a guy of his wisdom that's in the organization, well, why aren't you using them? I mean, that's what I said months ago when this team was scuffling and did not have the right approach. If you got the guy sitting there, why isn't the guy teaching hitting? At least make him a hitting coach.
Just wondering, Charlie, could you show our pitchers how to pitch left-handed hitters up and in? Could you show our pitchers how to pitch right-handed hitters low and away? No, I didn't think so.
Yeah, we know that when you have this rotation, you're not going to be able to compete. That's why it's difficult when you look at a wild card possibility. I don't see it. I just don't think they have enough pitching to get it done.
That's the best of the best today of Soundgarden. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
Got an OPD?
I don't like them.
What are you looking?
Because I don't like
them. Then bring it. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound dog gets up.
Goodman, see you later.
All right, well, that was it. Tyler, great job. Natalie, lots of fun. We'll be back tomorrow, the Mike Missanelli Show. Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on NBC Philly. We appreciate it, and we'll see you tomorrow. And for Mike.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.